Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
We're going to be in Mark chapter 5 this time and invite you to turn there with us. Paul teaches the body of Christ in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the spiritual battle, we need spiritual strength. And as we are on the Lord's side, Paul points to the Lord for where we are to get our strength within that battle. Here in Mark chapter 5, we see our Lord's authority over demons. So we know that as we are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, that the Lord will give us the victory we need in our lives over the wiles of the devil and to give us the power to stand as a testimony for Him. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 5 says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Traveling from Capernaum on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee, the Lord and the disciples travel across the sea, and they go through the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord calmed the sea. They then arrive on the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee into the country of the Gadarenes. The country of the Gadarenes refers to a region also known as the Decapolis. The disciples' boat beaches near a graveyard and a herd of pigs. Both of those are ritually and culturally unclean for the Jews. As Christ steps off the boat, a crazy man storms out of the caves, wild hair, bloody wrists, scratched skin, arms flailing, voice screeching, furious, and completely naked. And in my mind, I imagine the disciples putting a foot back into the boat to go back to the other side. This is not the best local Chamber of Commerce representative. It's not the kind of welcome wagon you want to welcome you to Gadara. This was your worst nightmare. The disciples were horrified, but Christ isn't. Christ had no sooner stepped off the boat than immediately at the water's edge, this man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He is defined as having an unclean spirit, which is synonymous with a demon or a fallen angel. Demons are spirit beings, and they are unclean, filthy, evil, and wicked. Satan's ultimate purpose is to destroy and to steal. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says. And Satan had devoured and stole from this man as he lost everything. He lost his identity, his home, his family, and his friends. Luke 8:27 says that he had devils a long time, and that shows that he'd been in this condition for years and years. It says he came from the tombs to meet the Lord, which was unusual. Jews normally wouldn't go near a tomb for fear of being contaminated by a dead body and being unclean. But not only did he go near the tombs, this man lived in the tombs. He was a tomb dweller. The Jews buried their dead in natural caves or rock areas that had been carved out to make a cave for burying the dead. And so this man lived in these caves, living where corpses were buried rather than in houses among the living. He was more comfortable and at home with the dead than he was with the living. And vice versa, the living were more comfortable that he was with the dead too. Matthew 8, as we put all the pieces together of the story, Matthew 8 says he was exceeding fierce so that no man might pass by that way. So he was violent, aggressive, frighteningly so. And for fear of this man, and because he was such a serious threat, No one even passed by that way where he lived. And he was also characterized by supernatural strength, verse 3 shows. It tells us that no one was able to bind him or restrain him, which tells us that they had tried to bind him and restrain him. They used chains for his arms and fetters and shackles for his feet, and it still didn't do any good as he'd pull apart, break in pieces the chains and fetters. He had superhuman strength. The demons gave him the strength to break the chains. Luke 8:27 adds, just to make matters worse, that he wore no clothes and said he was completely naked. The demons compelled the man here to do unnatural things. He lost all decency as he ran around these caves and tombs and in the mountains naked. And verse 5 sadly says, constantly, night and day, he was screaming and shrieking among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. So the man was sleepless, restless, wandering in and out of the tombs, in and out of the mountains, completely tormented, completely consumed by demonic power and presence, experiencing nothing good, no escape, no rest, no sleep. It was just a living hell for this man. Totally out of control, like a wild animal he was. And doing another unnatural things, he grabbed stones and would hack and cut at his own flesh with stones and inflict wounds and pain on himself on purpose. Mark 5:6-10 then says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. This crazed man up on the hill in one of the tombs, he sees a boat coming ashore. And he realizes he's got some new victims, some people who aren't from around here that don't know about him. And they don't know that they're not supposed to be there. And he comes flying down the hill, screaming with this demonic shriek, ready to attack. And then all of a sudden, when he gets to where he can see who is there, verse 6 says, when he saw Jesus afar off, it was like a whoa. And he sees somebody he had known for thousands of years. Luke adds, when he saw Christ, he cried out. He shrieked, he screamed in horror. The demon-possessed man then does an amazing thing. He says he worshiped him. Luke says he fell down before him. The man collapses. He doesn't know what's going on, but the demons drop him to his knees. The demons cause the man to run up to Christ, not to try to do the Lord harm, but to bow down and fall down before him. The word for worship here means to demonstrate submission, to show respect to one greater than yourself. In the past, in this context, no one could make him bow. No one could restrain him. No one could control him. No one could make him submit. But the presence of Christ, it cuts him to his knees. And the man goes down because the demons go down. And the man goes down under their power. The demonic force in that man is subdued by the presence of Christ, who they recognize as the Son of God, Lord over all principalities, all powers, all rulers of this present world, all rulers of darkness. They know that he is the sovereign one who has the authority to control them, sentence them, and eternally incarcerate them in the lake of fire. The demons speak through the man, using his vocal cords as though a man were like a type of a puppet, and they scream and cry out with a loud voice. One demon representative speaks on behalf of the multitude of demons within the man, and he says, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? In Mark chapter 4, verse 41, just in this context, the disciples asked in fear and astonishment, what manner of man is this? After Christ stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee, wondering who he was. The demons had no difficulty whatsoever in recognizing who he was. They rightly call him the Son of the Most High God. For a few moments here, the invisible conflict in the spiritual warfare between good and evil, light and darkness, becomes visible for us. And we see which side we need to be on, the Lord's side. What have we to do with thee denotes entire separation of interests. You and I, we have nothing in common. What do we have to do with you? The demon was aware that they and Christ, they belong to two different, completely different kingdoms, light and darkness. And they wonder at the reason for his presence there. And the reason for Christ's presence in Gadara was love. He came through a storm to rescue this man, as nothing could have stopped the Lord from coming to that graveyard and bringing deliverance to this man. And the reason Christ came to this world was love, love for you. And nothing stopped the Lord from coming to this graveyard, this world of sin and death and evil, to bring us deliverance from our sins. The demons correctly identify Christ as the Son of the Most High God. Most High means God sovereign, supreme over all, higher than anything and everything. Demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God and has authority over them. They believe, we learn about this in this account, they believe in the reality of eternal judgment. And it's ironic because that's more than many believe today. Then they have the nerve to say, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. They sure didn't mind tormenting this poor guy for years. Luke 8:31 says the demon asked the Lord not to command them to go into the deep or the abyss or the bottomless pit. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, we learn how in the past God has bound demons in chains in the bottomless pit, and they are being held there now, awaiting final judgment when they will be cast into the lake of fire. So unlike the chains that they can break here on the earth, those demons cannot break those chains. And these demons did not want to be locked in that pit in torment. They want to be able to do their evil in the world. They want the freedom to roam and create their havoc. But this group of demons, through their spokesman here, begged Christ not to send them into the pit. Or verse 10 even says not to even send them away out of the country. They were very happy right where they were, is what they were saying. And so as Christ begins to command them, all they can do here, you see them, is begging. All they can do is plead with him not to send them into torment, not to send them out of the country, because they know with his power and his authority as God and their creator that he can send them any place he wanted to. They laced a whole region of people with fear, but now they are trembling in fear and beg for mercy before Christ. The demons muster no challenge, they offer no threat, even though they did these feats of great strength before Christ. He reduced them to sniveling, groveling little weaklings.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750. Or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
The Lord then addresses the unclean spirit, and with divine authority over the demons, he commands the representative spokesman to vacate the tortured man. As he in verse 8, he tells him, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And then the Lord asks, what is your name? The demon-possessed man had a name. He had a name that his mother and father gave him when he was born. But by now, his human name had been overwhelmed. The man's personality is so totally dominated that he is virtually out of existence. And so the name that is given in reply is the name that relates to the force of the demons that now live within this one man. The spokesman demon replies to Christ and says, My name is Legion, for we are many. Legion is really not a name, it's a military designation. It's referring to a Roman military unit. And in the Roman army, a legion consisted of 6,000 to 7,000 soldiers. Can you imagine? The man who spoke to the Lord was under the control of a legion of demons. There were thousands of demons within this man. Christ draws out the name because he wanted to demonstrate the extensiveness of his power and authority over demons. It's one thing to just cast one demon out of a person. It's another thing to deal with thousands of demons with just a simple command like the Lord does here. Verses 11 to 13 says, "Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea." The demons make another request. They point out the large herd of pigs feeding nearby. Now, this is also something unusual. Jews raising pigs. The Jews shouldn't have been raising and selling pigs because they were unclean according to the law. This was definitely not kosher. And it's a big operation too. Mark calls it here a great herd. And they were about 2,000 pigs, so it was a significant enterprise. Might have even been a village enterprise with that many pigs. The demons request and implore the Lord to be sent into the swine that they may enter into them. Now, Christ could have bound these demons in the bottomless pit, but it wasn't time for this yet. And this is something he will do at his second coming prior to his millennial kingdom on the earth. We learn that in Revelation 20. Matthew 8, 31 to 32 says that the demons said, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." At the word "go," Christ sent and cast out the thousands of demons from this man, and they went and immediately entered into the swine. And when they hit those pigs, it showed that they had left the man. So Christ was visibly demonstrating his ability to free a person from the power of darkness and the supernatural authority that he has over all the demonic realm. And when the demons hit those pigs and entered them, the action of the pigs indicates what demons do. They create chaos. They remove normal instinct and normal restraint that even animals have, and they create violent and deadly results. The pigs become violent, chaotic, mad, self-destructive, just like the possessed man was. They become what he was, and they put on display the destructive purposes of demons. The whole herd then, 2,000 squealing, terrorized pigs rush down a steep embankment and plunge into the depths, and they are drowned in the sea. And the theological term for this is suicide. We see the destructive and deadly intent, though, of Satan and his demons in this. And it reminds us of the spiritual battle we're in and how they seek to destroy your life and my life through sin, through worldliness, through false doctrine, through broken relationships, through anything and everything and whatever they can do to keep us from the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds us of the need to be vigilant, to stay close to the Lord, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Mark chapter 5, verses 14 to 20 says, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. In the accounts of this miracle, which are found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the owners of the pigs never say anything about their dead pigs. They never complain about it. They just had a premature pork sale, was all. Instead, the pig herders run away, and they report it abroad in the city and in the country all over the place. The bizarre story then spread rapidly that the maniac was subdued and pigs dove into the sea. And this led to people from all around coming to see for themselves. When they arrive there, they find the Lord, and they find that the man was different. And they find that the pigs had acted like the man and were dead and floating in the sea. They saw the man, the legion of demons that once tormented, and that he had found freedom from his bondage. He was no longer naked, he was clothed. No longer uncontrollable, but calm. No longer shrieking, but quiet. No longer in the tombs, but in his right mind. No longer running around like a madman, sitting. And so as Christ had calmed the sea, he brought a perfect peace and stillness to this one man. And he brings that to us when we trust him as our Savior. And he takes all of our sins away, and he gives us the peace that passes all understanding. And you see a man that's been transformed here, transformed by Christ, transformed by grace. But nobody's joyful over the maniac being subdued. Instead, they're frightened. They used to be frightened of this man, of the violent, demon-possessed man, but now that he's clothed, seated, harmless, quiet, and peaceful, now they're even more frightened. And they were frightened of Christ. The disciples had just had a very similar experience when they were in that storm on the Sea of Galilee in Mark chapter 4. They were scared to death of the storm. But after Christ stilled the storm, they were frightened of him. And so similarly, the people from this region, seeing that the man was unquestionably freed of the demons, they were frightened because they knew they were in the presence of one who had massive supernatural power. But instead of asking the Lord who he is, or asking him to stay and perform similar acts of compassion for others in need, the people ask the Lord to leave. There's not a word of thanks. There's not an expression of joy. There's not questions about who he is and where his power comes from. There's not a request to know his transforming power and change in the way that this man had been delivered experienced through him. We would like to think that a miracle on this scale and magnitude and clarity would cause the people to want him to stay and to know him more. Instead, Luke 8:37 says, "The whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear." It was not the pig herd owners who asked Christ to depart, but all the people from the territory that had come to see what had happened. They all asked the Lord to leave, to go away. And this is often the cry and attitude of individuals and of nations towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Go away. And we see here also how the Lord does not stay where he is not wanted. The Lord doesn't try to convince them otherwise. He responds to their request, and he goes and he gets back in the boat to leave. But there's one man who didn't want him to go, the formerly demon-possessed man. He doesn't want to go another day. He doesn't want to take another step unless it's with the Lord. He becomes an instant follower of Christ. The man begs the Lord to allow him to join his followers. He was now committed to following Christ with all he knows, with all of his heart, because of his deliverance, because of his freedom from his bondage. And it begs the question, that do we have that kind of commitment? desire to follow the Lord because of our deliverance from our bondage of our sins and the life we have in Him. This man had been living with the dead in the tombs, but now he wants to be with the living, and he wants to be with the one who is the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ doesn't reject the man. He just has other plans for him. He tells him to go home. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He had compassion and mercy on you. Go home. And the man departed, it says in verse 20. He did just as the Lord instructed. And when he gave his testimony, it was a unique one. He said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I used to be a naked maniac living in the tomb, screaming all day. But then one day, Christ entered into my life and He delivered me and set me free and made me whole. Not much different than some testimonies out there. This man knew nothing but a testimony that would have only been possible to explain by the power of God in Christ. And Christ sent him to share that testimony with others. So we don't have to be armed with a large grasp of Scripture and doctrine to share Christ with others. Our testimony is often all we need to share of simply what Christ has done in my life and saving me and making me whole. It's been rightly said that if we know enough to be saved, we know enough to tell somebody else how to be saved. And you also see a principle here of prioritizing sharing Christ with those at home, with our loved ones and friends first, like the Lord tells them to do. And when we share, we do something very similar. We too tell them the great things the Lord has done for me and how He had compassion and mercy on me by His cross and by His resurrection. As we are strong in the Lord and depend on Him by faith, His authority and power over the devil can, and it will, give us the victory over sin and strength to stand for Him in the spiritual battle. Thank you for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. Join us next time when we'll be looking at knowing our enemy, Satan, in the spiritual battle.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.